Welcome back to Community Voices on 91.9 UIS. I'm co-host Randy Eccles, and we're happy to have a friend join us again who's been on Community Voices a couple times in the past, Mary Francis. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Randy. It's good to be here.
Good, good. You know, I was just taking a look at your website before you came in, and oh my goodness, I mean, there are so many cool things that you're doing. There's lots of fun options to click through and see what you've worked on. But today in particular, there are a couple of things I think you wanted to talk about. Tell us a little bit about, first of all, Untold Histories?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So that's a nonprofit I started about a year ago. And it's the culmination of about 5 years of work in history. And I decided to start it because I want to do more complicated projects that require money. So I've been getting local grants and donations for some of my projects. And one that's coming up is an exhibit, and it's about the People's National Bank of Springfield, which was a bank created in 1970 by African Americans and for African Americans on the East Side.
And that wasn't an easy thing in 1970.
Apparently it wasn't. And they had experienced so much financial discrimination. Sometimes they didn't have bank accounts at all. They couldn't get loans. And they located it right across from the post office on East Cook Street. And it's actually, the building is still there today, and it is still a bank. So anyway, creating the exhibit, I did need money to produce the materials. And so that's where I got the idea to start the nonprofit, and it's been going great. I've gotten grants from the Community Foundation for Land of Lincoln, from Westminster Church, and I've gotten donations from a bank and from other private individuals. So I'm very happy with how it's going so far.
So it's a 501c3, so it's tax deductible if somebody makes a contribution to it.
Right, right.
That's great. And that helps then fuel. Is it mainly the history things that you're doing?
Yes. So the mission of the nonprofit is to promote research, publishing, and education regarding local African American history.
Well, that's good stuff to get going. And we need to have as much of that as possible. There is a sort of a vibe going on right now at the national level of revising some of that history. Locally, has that impacted you at all yet?
No, not yet, we'll put it that way. And I'm so grateful for the local organizations and churches and individuals who can still do the funding and aren't being impacted by the current administration.
What happens if they change what's happening at, like, the Smithsonian Museum of African American History?
So I'm going to give you a statewide example. Illinois Humanities is a nonprofit organization in Chicago, and they got about one-third of their funding from the federal government. And so they are definitely going to be impacted, and that, it does impact me because I'm in their Speakers Bureau. I'm a Rhodes Scholar. So they're saying they're going to have funding for their program for the next year, but they're not completely certain.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, it's difficult for, I think, everybody who's involved in the humanities, the arts, history, museums, etc. right now, because even if this doesn't happen directly to the funding streams, it creates uncertainty and makes it difficult to plan.
Exactly.
So as you worked on this exhibit, People's Bank of Springfield, first integrated bank in downstate Illinois, first of all, where's the exhibit going to be?
Yeah, it's going to be at the SAA Collective at 105 North 5th Street in Springfield. And it will be there from September 5th to the first week in November, so about 2 months. And there is a reception for it coming up on the 5th, and so that will be from 5:30 to 7:30 again at that same location.
So people can come meet you and talk about the exhibit?
Yes. Yes.
So what is it likely that they're seeing? You talked about the bank and the location on Cook across from the post office. The exhibit, when they walk in to see that, what will they experience?
They will experience, first of all, oral histories about the bank. And I had four people associated with the bank. One woman worked there, and one woman's father was instrumental in creating the bank. One man's father was extremely instrumental in creating the bank. And one was an attorney at the time, and he served different functions for the bank. So those will be scannable with your cell phone. There's a QR code there, and you can see the video of me interviewing them.
Should you bring your earbuds with your cell phone?
You might want to do that. And besides the oral histories, I have artifacts from the bank. Now, they're just photographs of the artifacts because the Sangamon Valley Collection cannot loan those out. But you'll see actual objects that they used at the bank, and lots of newspaper articles and certificates and awards. And one of the great things I was lucky to get were the building plans, the architectural plans for the bank. And so I made copies of those, and they're laminated. So there are 6 pages, so you can leaf through those and study those.
Was it built specifically to be this bank, or did they convert a building into the bank?
No, it was an empty plot of land, and they hired an architectural firm, and they created it just to be People's Bank.
And the legacy is it's still there on the east side serving the community.
It is, yes.
So one of the great things about history is it can prompt you to think about what it was like before this happened. Things may have changed by now, but in the 1960s, because this opened up in 1970,
yes.
You said? So in the 1960s, if somebody wanted to do banking who was African-American, is it similar to how it was difficult for women to get credit cards?
I think it was similar. And I've heard people say that it was so important for them to go into the bank and see Black people working in there, to see people like them getting jobs there and becoming supervisors and serving on the board. And so the bank, it eventually was sold in 1986. And the reason was that it was a small bank and it couldn't compete with some of the larger banks in terms of giving larger loans and so forth. So it didn't actually fail. It was just sold.
And the positive thing there, I guess, is that other banks then started loaning out to Blacks.
Exactly.
So it was, there were more options and opportunities, and that made it so they didn't have a market that was as broad.
Exactly.
So this is a special opening on September 5th at the SAA Collective.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there any registration for that, or do they just show up?
No, just show up. And if you need more information, everything is on my website, Mary Frances Artist. And if you have any stories about People's Bank, if you remember it in any capacity, I would love to see you and talk to you. I would like to expand on the exhibit over time. It is going to be a traveling exhibit, so I want to take it throughout Illinois and expand it along the way. And for instance, I talked to an architect in town yesterday who remembers the bank and is very interested in the actual architecture of the bank, because it is a unique design and somewhat progressive for that time. So I love to hear stories and feel out the interest in Springfield about the bank.
Was this unique to Springfield, or was this type of bank starting to open up in other cities?
Well, in the newspapers, it does say the first integrated bank in downstate Illinois. So I think it was a new thing, not only for Springfield, but for downstate Illinois. And I do want to add, there were also Jewish people involved in starting the bank and serving on the board. And that could have been, you know, partly a result of them being discriminated against, too, in that time period.
So this helped out those communities be able to find banking loans and things to start their own businesses. This is Community Voices. We're talking to Mary Frances, artist, a writer, a historian, all kinds of different titles fit. How do you choose what your next project is?
Yeah, so I like to always do new things, challenging things, and I'm keeping my mind open right now until after the exhibit. But I do have some ideas that I don't want to share right now. was going to be a big surprise. So.
That's not the answer we wanted. Come on. No, that's excellent. Well, I hope that whatever you've got cooking, I hope that turns out very well. How about besides this current project that you just talked about, both the nonprofit Untold Histories and the exhibit, is there a book or anything to go with the exhibit?
There will be a pamphlet to go with it if you want to take that home.
Okay. And the exhibit's called People's Bank of Springfield, First Integrated Bank in Downstate, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been doing some other art stuff in the meantime also, or taking a break?
No art stuff, but I am always doing research and working on publications. So I have published in Illinois Heritage Magazine through the Illinois State Historical Society, and I'm always looking for ideas and new people, Black people, to research and publish about for those. So if anyone has any ideas, come to the exhibit and talk to me, please.
Good. That's your history specialization.
It is. Okay. And I also look for new archival collections in Springfield that are related to Black history. And for instance, for this exhibit, the Sangamon Valley Collection has an extensive photo collection about People's Bank from the 1970s. And they're all black and white photos, and they're large and they're beautiful. And that was really my starting point for the exhibit, because I had this whole collection to kind of delve into and research further. So I'm always looking for those kinds of collections in other, it could be anywhere in libraries or archives in Springfield, or even individual people.
Great. And obviously there are some larger historical pieces we know of with Black history in Springfield, such as the 1908 race riot and the founding of the NAACP. So what other, as you found People's Bank to explore, what other areas in the past have you focused on?
Yeah, one of my first projects was doing a documentary film about Eva Carroll Monroe, who created and ran the Lincoln Colored Home for 33 years. Over on the east side, and it was an orphanage for Black children, and also she housed widows. So that film is also on my website, and that was my starting point. And then I started publishing, and I realized when I was thinking about our interview today that I love to write about people who are creative and artistic.
Sure, yeah.
And one of those people was Dennis Williams, and he was a prolific and respected artist in Springfield in the 1800s. So this is 1870s and 1880s.
So what medium was he working with in those days?
He was doing charcoal, pastel, ink, pencil, oil, everything. And he had studios downtown near the old state capitol building. And he was an enslaved person, and he migrated to Springfield during the Civil War. And this is where he had his 20-year career, and I just thought he was an amazing person. And I was able to find enough primary documents and archival materials to put together an article about him.
And some of his art, it survives.
It does. And actually, three of his portraits are in Springfield. Two are at the Illinois State Museum. And one is at the Judge David Davis Mansion in Bloomington. And then, now I do want to say that one of the impacts of my work that I'm proud of is that after I did this article, and it was on Sangamon Link, It was online, someone in the Carolinas saw my research, and he contacted us, and he said, I think I have a Dennis Williams portrait. And I talked with him, and we were able to authenticate it, that it was a Dennis Williams portrait from, I think it was 1873. And the man eventually decided to try to sell it at auction in the Carolinas, which he did. And then the Illinois State Museum ended up getting it somehow, which I just found out someone who worked at the museum bought it at that auction, and he donated it to the museum.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, and great to see impact from your work.
Yeah, right? That's huge, huge impact. So the State Museum has two of his portraits, and then another of his portraits hangs at the new State Capitol building, and then the other one is in Bloomington. So the new portrait that State Museum has now is actually going to go on exhibit soon, too.
Oh, wow. And, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Helping rediscover it or get it authenticated, right?
So, yes.
Well, we really appreciate you joining us today. What's your website again if people want to explore the different things you've been involved in?
It is a long title, but if you search on Mary Frances, F-R-A-N-C-E-S, artist, it will come up.
Great. And we'll also put a link up at nprillinois.org. And include a link to your previous two interviews, which also includes the home that you're mentioning, the home for...
The Lincoln Colored Home.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we'll put those links up too from your previous Community Voices interviews. And, well, good luck with the reception. And we look forward to see what you tackle next.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
To listen to past Community Voices interviews, visit nprillinois.org.